Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hello, hello. This is Live Creative Now, episode zero. This is the introductory episode, and I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full color creative life. Why? Well, I have personally learned the hard way that when you deny your creative urges and starve yourself of your creative hungers, don't feed your creative hungers, life sucks. It leads to depression and anger, crankiness. It is not a good thing. On the other hand, feeding your creative hungers is one of the fastest routes to happiness and self-fulfillment. There is this prevalent message in our culture that creative expression is frivolous and self-indulgent and even selfish, but that's a lie. Not only does feeding your creative hungers make you feel more alive, it's how you will change the world. Now, if you're skeptical about that, I want you to go listen to episode one for 8 reasons why it is essential, not self-indulgent, but essential to do your creative thing. Now, I am a poster child for this concept. I spent way too much of my life living in black and white, totally denying my creative urges, even denying that I was creative at all. And everything changed for me when I finally allowed myself to follow those urges and feed my creative hungers. I'll go more into my story in a moment, but right now, I want to share with you what you can expect from this podcast and why I decided to create a podcast in the first place. I already blog over at Living a Creative Life. Why did I decide to make a podcast? Well, first, who is this podcast for? And what can you expect in terms of what I'm going to cover? Now, you might have heard the joke, there are two types of people. The type of people who believe there are two types of people and the type of people who don't believe in two types of people. In this case, I'm going to talk about two types of people who live in the world. People who know they are creative and people who don't think they're creative at all. Whichever category you fall into, the Live Creative Now podcast is for you. Because the secret truth is that everybody is creative, whether they know it or not. And my goal, whichever category you belong to, is to get you past fear, past self-doubt, past distractions, and past every other form of resistance to get you creating now. No waiting, no excuses, no some days. I will be providing all kinds of practical tips and inspiration to get you creatively productive, joyfully creating, feeling alive, feeling happy, living a full color creative life, and changing your world and the entire world for the better as a result. What I'm going to cover, the topics are really going to run the gamut. Creativity, productivity, juggling multiple interests, creative lifestyle design, anything that keeps people from creating or helps you get past what's getting in the way. If it touches on how you can live a full color life, it is fair game. So if you have a topic that you'd like to see covered, I would love to cover it. Leave it in an iTunes review. That is the best way to get your topic or your question on the air, as it were. You might just hear an episode about that topic if you leave it in an iTunes review. And if you'd also like your voice on the show, you can leave me a voice message at livecreativenow.com slash questions. That's livecreativenow.com/questions. But for the best shot of getting your question or your topic request on the air, be sure to also type it into a review on iTunes, because I prioritize questions that are left in iTunes reviews. So that's what to expect in terms of topics and who the podcast is for. Now, what to expect in terms of format? Well, I'm a passion pluralite. I like to mix things up. I'm always trying new things. I get bored really easily. So you can expect some variety in the format of this podcast. Some of the episodes, probably most of the episodes, will be monologues, me sharing wisdom and tips and stories with you. Some will be interviews with inspiring people who are living full-color creative lives, who I'm just fascinated by and want to learn from. And some will be recordings of live Q&As. And if you'd like to join me on a live Q&A episode and maybe get your questions answered, just go to livecreativenow.com and you can register to be in the live audience for my next live Q&A. As time goes by, I may also try other formats as well. I don't know. I'm leaving it open and we will see how it evolves. And again, if you have a request, leave it in an iTunes review, because I am definitely open to ideas. So that's what to expect in terms of format. What to expect in terms of frequency? Well, as it says in the intro bumper, Live Creative Now is a weekly podcast, and I'll be posting a new episode every Wednesday at 6 a.m. Pacific time. I will also sometimes publish additional bonus episodes. You'll see quite a few this week and all month, in fact, probably for the next couple of months, but you can always count on at least one episode every Wednesday. As with the format, I'm giving myself the freedom to play around with the publication schedule. So for example, there might be occasions where I post a short episode every day for a full week. I don't know. I'm leaving that possibility open. So just don't be surprised if that kind of thing happens, but you'll always get at least one episode on Wednesday. And if I end up changing the publication day to a different time, different day of the week at some point, I will let you know. So that's what to expect in terms of frequency. What to expect in terms of length? How long are these podcasts going to be? Well, this is another place where you can expect some variety. Most episodes will probably run between 20 and 30 minutes, around 25, give or take. But ultimately, I'm going to talk, or I'm going to let my guests talk for as long or as short as it takes in order to say what needs to be said. I would rather share all the juicy goodness with you than cut it out purely for the sake of, you know, meeting a time, you know, a pre-planned time length or something. So some of my podcast episodes may be a lot longer, maybe closer to an hour or even longer than that, if there's a lot of good stuff to share with you guys. On the other hand, I have no interest in padding a topic just to make it fit a predetermined time slot. And so some episodes may be only 10 or 15 minutes. If you already know me from my blog, Living a Creative Life, you know that I am not one of those bloggers who writes, you know, a daily 200-word or 350-word blog post just in order to post something. Most of my blog posts tend to be on the longer side. They're usually 1,200 to 2,000 words, sometimes even longer, because I like to dive deep. And my readers are used to this and they love it. Sometimes, though, over on the blog, I might share a new video or a photo essay with very few words, because what I want to share doesn't need as many words. So it's really all about variety, baby. Variety is a good thing. Okay, so now that I've let you know what to expect in terms of topics and format and frequency and length, let me tell you a little bit about who I am and why I'm doing this podcast in the first place. If you visit my blog, Living a Creative Life, which is you can find at livingacreativelife.com or my name, melissadinwiddie.com, if you dig deep enough, you'll find my vision statement, which goes like this. Because I know that feeding your creative hungers is one of the fastest routes to happiness, joy, and self-fulfillment, I envision a world where creative expression is treated and accepted as a normal part of daily life, as essential as eating or brushing your teeth. I envision a world where every human on the planet is encouraged to nurture and nourish their innate creativity, to take creative risks, and to honor and pursue their creative callings from birth onwards forever, regardless of age, gender, race, class, or anything else. I envision a world where all people feed their creative hungers, boldly do their art, and uninhibitedly share their work, even when it scares them, because they understand that doing so is an important world-changing act, and the universe needs them to create. To realize my vision, I share what I know about how to hurdle past all creative blocks and use my natural positivity to encourage and empower others to find and follow their callings, do their art, take creative risks, and share their work. I do this through writing, speaking, teaching, consulting, mentoring, and above all, through modeling, following my own callings, doing my own art, taking creative risks, sharing my work at every opportunity, and continually pushing my comfort zone. This is my vision statement, and I am passionate about this. But it wasn't always this way. In fact, I spent decades of my life living in black and white, not in full color. As a child, like perhaps you, I loved everything creative. I loved to draw and paint and dance and sing and write, and I played piano, I played viola. By about age 6, though, which is before I started playing viola, by the way, my gremlins were already piping up, telling me that my classmates' drawings were better than mine, and other people's art and other people's music was better than mine. And by age 13, I was completely and utterly convinced that other people were the artists, not me, because that's what my gremlins told me. And I took my last art class for 15 years at age 13. That I now refer to as my great period of stuckness number one. I also refer to it as my 15-year hiatus from making art. I was not an artist, and I was convinced of that. Well, meanwhile, I had taken piano lessons and started playing violin in fourth grade and switched over to viola in seventh grade, and I loved making music, but in 10th grade, that was my last year playing an instrument. Why? Because just like with art, other people were the real musicians, not me. Same thing happened to me with singing. Kind of every creative outlet that I had, I just decided, my gremlins told me that other people were better than I was, so I quit. I did find one creative outlet that I kept a hold of, though. At 16, I kind of discovered dance, and I fell madly in love with it. And I now sort of consider that my first real creative expression, my first real creative passion. And I dove into the world of dance headfirst. At the time, you know, at 16, I felt like I was over the hill because a lot of people who I was in classes with had been dancing since they were 3 or 4 or 5. But I was in love with this thing, and I even took a gap year after graduating from high school in order to dance full time. And I went to college for a year at UC Berkeley after that, and then I auditioned for Juilliard in New York City, and I got in. My life was mapped out. I was going to be a professional dancer. I was ecstatic. Life was amazing. I was just floating on this incredible high. And then school started. And I hated it. And to make matters like exponentially worse, I very quickly into the school year developed a vicious case of tendonitis in my ankles. And I ended up spending most of that year completely unable to dance. And in fact, I spent the next 5 years on the quest for the miracle cure because the tendonitis just would not go away. And meanwhile, I had developed an eating disorder when I was about 17, and that spiraled completely out of control, and I fell into a terrible depression. It was the worst year of my life. I came back home to California. I decided to go to drop out of Juilliard and go back to UC Berkeley for my last 2 years of college, and decided that I was not creative. You know, I lost dance. That was my big passion. That was it. I didn't have it anymore. I was going to have to live the rest of my life in shades of gray. When I finished college, I went on to grad school. I was planning on becoming a professor. But I realized when I was in my graduate program in England, I went to the University of Birmingham, that I really didn't want this life path. And I was so lost. I thought, well, at least if I was going to be a professor, I'd have a direction. And now I had no direction. So I finished out my degree, got my master's, which I've used for nothing, returned to California. I was completely lost, completely adrift. I got engaged, got married, and spent the summer after my wedding. I decided I'd be a writer. Hey, I'd written all these college essays and graduate school essays, and I'd gotten good grades on them. So, gosh, you know, somebody has to write magazines and short stories and things. So I decided I would do that. But guess what? Writing was hard. And my gremlins, who had told me that other people were so much better at art and music, and so I quit, my gremlins told me that I sucked at writing. And I started doing little craft projects to procrastinate. Well, I had a lot of time on my hands. And this art and craft thing was really fun. And there was no pressure around it, like with writing. With writing, I was trying to become a published writer. But with arts and crafts, I was just procrastinating. So I started taking classes. I started taking all different kinds of art classes and calligraphy classes. And oh my gosh, within about 6 months, I was just completely laser focused on the art of calligraphy. A new passion was born. I had no idea that you got to have more than one passion. I thought, you know, dance was my passion and I lost it and that was it. But no, I got to have this second passion. So I quit writing and I focused on calligraphy and art. And within a year or two, I was selling my work and I was taking commissions from private clients. And over the next about 7 years, I really busted my butt to grow a little hobby business around my art. And in 1999, I got divorced, and that hobby business suddenly had to become a real business that was going to pay my bills. I busted my butt. And by 2007, I was on track to hit my six-figure income goal the next year with my art calligraphy business. Unfortunately, meanwhile, I had gotten really, really burned out. I had spent so many years focusing only on the business side of things, creating only to please my clients, never myself. And that had left me completely fried and really, really mired in resistance and perfectionist paralysis. I had become this really, really sad creature, an artist who never made any art. I was selling Jewish marriage contracts, primarily ketubot. And so I was processing orders, processing orders, processing orders. They were all prints, reproductions of original artworks. And I was making art for clients, but never making new art for me. I now refer to this period as my great period of stuckness number two. But what I've discovered is that creativity always finds a leak valve. And where, when I was trying to be a writer, arts and crafts was my escape, my procrastination device. Now, arts and crafts felt like this scary, you know, thing that I was completely stuck around. And I started procrastinating by escaping into music, which I had given up so many years before. I started playing guitar for the first time and taking voice lessons and learning to sing jazz. And oh my goodness, a third creative passion was born. Wow, you get to have more than two. Apparently, there's no end to how many passions you get to have. Who knew? Still though, I wasn't making any visual art. And that made me really grumpy and really sad. And I would walk around my house saying, I wish I had time to make art for me. I wish I had time to make art for me. It was like a constant lament. It took me a long time to realize that it isn't a matter of having the time, it's a matter of making the time. And I'll talk more about that in future episodes. But meanwhile, my business was on track to hit six figures. And then 2008 happened and the economy tanked. And my ketubah business tanked with it. And I spent the next 2 years looking for a silver bullet solution, throwing money at the problem. And the only thing I succeeded in doing was driving myself deeply into debt. It was pretty bad. And within 2 years, I was totally broke. February of 2010, I didn't know where my next mortgage payment was going to come from. I was in a panic. I did something really stupid with a client and lost a really big commission that would have more than covered my mortgage. And the man I thought was my life partner walked out, bim, bam, boom. The universe basically walloped me upside the head with a 2x4, crisis after crisis. And I was just down in the gutter. I was so desperate. I was so burned out. I was so empty. I had hit an emotional bottom. And the one good thing about hitting an emotional bottom is that there's no place to go but up. And suddenly I realized that I didn't have to just be a ketubah artist for the rest of my life. This business that I poured my heart and soul into but had burned me out, I didn't have to only do that. I could do whatever I wanted. So I set the intention. I'm going to go after the life I really, really want. I am going to build that full color life that I really want. No more living in black and white. The problem was I didn't know what that life looked like. So I set out on a journey to figure it out. And I started my blog, Living a Creative Life, with the really big vision of not just charting my journey, but helping others find the lives that they really want and live the fully full color creative lives that they want. Now, when I'm not at my computer, where I actually walk on a treadmill desk when I'm typing, I'm either painting or singing and playing my ukulele or performing improv. I'm doing my creative things instead of just dreaming about them. I allow myself to be imperfect. I allow myself to make crap because I know that we need the crap in order to fertilize the good stuff. So how did I get to this place of living a full color life? Well, I had to learn how to tame those gremlins that told me you're not good enough. Who do you think you are? And, you know, creative stuff is frivolous and self-indulgent. You should spend your time on more important things, blah, 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 blah. Those are lies. Gremlins lie. They will lie like a rug to keep you safely in your comfort zone. I had to learn how to make the time for what feeds me. Make the time rather than waiting to have the time. If you wait until you have the time, you're going to spend your entire life waiting. You'll never get to it. And I had to learn to dodge all those distractions that are constantly trying to suck my attention away. And I had to learn how to treat myself with self-compassion when I stumble. And mostly, I had to learn how to dump that perfectionism. I had to learn to get comfortable with discomfort, lean into fear, and take risks. And now I share everything I've learned on my blogs and my products and programs because living a full color life is just a better way to be. And you probably know that already because that's why you're listening. That's why you're here. And that's why I started this podcast. I'm so glad you're along for the ride. I'm so glad you're here. That is today's episode, episode 0. That's a wrap. I want to thank you for joining me today, listening to this very first episode of this brand new baby podcast. If you enjoy it, I would so appreciate it if you would leave a review over on iTunes, because ratings and reviews make a really big difference in how the show is ranked, and that makes a really big difference in helping other people find it. And that helps grow the creative uprising. We can really change the culture. Make creative expression something that people honor and understand is important in everyone's lives. And you can play a really important role in that movement simply by leaving a review. Plus, I would be eternally grateful. And also, if you have a question about living a creative life that you'd like me to address on the show, type it into your review, as I said earlier, and you might just hear it featured on a future episode. And if you would like to hear your voice on the show, just go to livecreativenow.com/questions and leave me a voice message. But remember, I give first priority to questions left in reviews on iTunes. So go over to iTunes, leave a review and a rating, and subscribe. And thank you so much for joining me. I really look forward to seeing you again virtually in the next episode, episode 1. Until next time, go get creating. Mwah! Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.